live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day, February 17th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. First of all, I hope you all are safe and doing well in the midst of this wild winter storm and, you know, this incredible freeze that we are experiencing. I think I woke up and checked my phone and saw that it was still single digits here in East Lansing, Michigan. So I hope you're bundled up and you don't have to go out in this stuff unless you have to. And if you have to, you're doing it safely. Okay. But happy Wednesday to you all. I think you can pretty much guess what we are centering today's show on, and that is Michigan State men's basketball. And if you haven't already gotten somewhat comfortable in knowing that this Michigan State men's basketball team is not an NCAA tournament team, then now is the time I think that you should start processing that and coming to that reality in your mind. Look, I know it's so weird, right, to say that, because we're talking about an incredible record of 22 straight seasons in which Tom Izzo's squad has made it to the big dance. And I think this is also a slap in the face to all who really take going to the big dance for granted, because let's be frank here. When you are a Michigan State basketball fan, it's an afterthought. It's expected. It's not if we will make the big dance. It's how far will we go once we do make the big dance. It's the norm. And look, you know, I'm 30 years old, born in 1990. You know, that streak began when I was seven, back in 1997. And there are, you know, kids in college right now, young men and women in college, they don't know what it's like not to see Michigan State in the big dance, which is so mind-boggling, right? And it's a testament to the dominance and the unbelievable consistency that Tom Izzo has built when it comes to Michigan State hoops. You have to tip your cap, because that is not easy to do. There are many coaches that dream about going to the big dance. Many who don't. Many who go like once every 3 or 4 years. It is very hard. And Izzo has done it 22 straight times, has won a national championship in 2000, and all of the Final Fours, all of the deep runs, right? You know, they are still the three-time defending Big Ten champion. You know, the last Big Ten team to play in a Final Four and signed a recruiting class that is one of the best in Izzo's tenure. So the chatter will begin, though, whether or not Tom Izzo has lost it, whether or not Tom Izzo can shake off this season and get Michigan State back to glory. Those conversations will happen. Heck, they're already happening. I went to the barbershop last week, and I was chatting it up with my barber, who is very, very critical of Tom Izzo and thinks that, okay, maybe he's lost a step. Talking to buddies of mine who are hitting me up in group chat last night who believe that Izzo has lost it. And that's a debate we've had, let's be real here, for years now. Because when you are Michigan State, when you've won a national championship, granted, it's been 21 years, but when you've done it, everybody's kind of sitting and have been for a while sitting and anticipating, when can Tom Izzo get back to that mountaintop? And he hasn't. He's come very, very close, but he hasn't. And because of that, we're talking about missing the NCAA tournament here, but in years past, when Michigan State would make deep runs and get to the Final Four and come just short of a national championship, heck, when I was in college, you know, Michigan State made it all the way back to that national championship game and lost to North Carolina. That's the kind of expectation we're talking about. You can't just make the big dance. You got to go all the way. And in just a moment, I'm going to play for you last night's press conference from Tom Izzo. And you could just hear the frustration in his voice. You'll also hear from Michigan State junior guard Aaron Henry. You could just hear the frustration in both of their voices, excuse me. And Izzo was asked about the brand of Michigan State basketball and what is the public perception now. Does he care about the public perception now? The brand of MSU hoops right now. And he gave a very candid, honest answer that I believe also alludes to the frustration that he is experiencing right now, saying that, you know, he doesn't give a crap about what the public thinks about his program. And I believe he deserves another shot, of course. He's Tom Izzo, my goodness. I mean, this is a team that, again, is still up there in terms of the blue bloods of college hoops. You talk about Michigan State, and you do that for a reason. Tom Izzo still has had a lot of recent success. And look, I just think about what would have happened, what could have happened last year when this team, again, had won a piece of the Big Ten championship pie, seemed to be clicking on all cylinders at just the right time with a player led by a player who I believe is on the Mount Rushmore in Michigan State men's basketball history in Cassius Winston, what could have been last year. But COVID, right? And every team deals with COVID differently. When you talk about this season, the postponements, the COVID issues that have had players sit out this season, that has something to do with Michigan State struggles for sure. You got to throw all of this into the pot when you consider why Michigan State isn't where it is right now. Do I believe Tom Izzo shoulders a ton of the blame, arguably most of the blame, for why Michigan State is not going to make the tournament this year? Yeah. But there's other factors you have to consider as well. That's not the only factor. You got to look at the big picture as well. Multiple players have had COVID for this team. Major breakout. Big layoff. Times where, you know, you would be playing consistently and in practice and in developing chemistry with your teammates, well, you can't do that. And again, every team, every young athlete handles that differently. For Michigan State, they've struggled to deal with that. I'm not giving excuses. I'm just giving facts right now. So you have to consider that as well. Now, on the subject of Coach Izzo and his coaching, it hasn't been great this year. There have been numerous times in which he has been outcoached. Last night, Michigan State added to the pain and lost its second straight Big Ten game. They were blown out on Saturday afternoon, like many of you know, by the Iowa Hawkeyes. 30-point loss. And last night, they had a chance to enact a bit of revenge against a team that they had a double-digit lead against at the Breslin last month, the beginning of last month. And they let one man beat him. Travion Williams went off, and as we all know by now, he scored the game-winning bucket. But you were in control much of that game. And what happens last night? Well, the struggles continued. The struggles continued. But I want to start with Izzo and his coaching gaffes because it aided in why Michigan State lost that game, in my opinion. I didn't understand it. And look, I love Izzo. Izzo is a Hall of Fame basketball coach, and covering this program for, I started back in my college days, actually, going to Michigan State practice and getting to know Coach, and that was back in, like, 09. You know? It's like 12 years. And watching his excellence up close and personal and getting to know who he is and his work ethic, it's insane. His work ethic is one of the best I've ever been around in my life. And it's a bit contagious. It really is. I mean, when I think of Tom Izzo, I think of excellence. And it makes me, you know, push myself in my respective crafts and endeavors. He's that kind of guy. But when you're in a position like that, and you are the head coach of a program like Michigan State, a program that you have built to be this brand, and you're getting paid, what, millions of dollars to do it, you're going to get criticized. And you should get criticized. You're not above it. Especially when the mistakes have been so glaring this season. Mati Sissoko, he gave great minutes in the post in the first half. 5 points, 4 rebounds. But he didn't see a minute in the second half. That's inexcusable. I don't understand that. Now, Izzo was asked about it, of course, in the post-game press conference. I believe it was Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News who asked him the question. But, you know, what was up with Matt, with Mati? And he said that, you know, if you look at it, Julius Marble was having a good game as well. So we decided to go with Julius, which is true. Julius Marble had some great minutes for Michigan State, but, I mean, Mati didn't see 1 minute in the second half. Did a great job, was very active. I don't get that. Marcus Bingham Jr., he gets a foul or misses a shot and immediately gets yanked. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, Izzo haters always bring up, right? I mean, when playing for Izzo, you got to constantly have your head on the swivel because if you do one wrong thing, he's going to chew you out and put you on that bench. You better not mess up. And a lot of people believe that, you know, his players walk on eggshells and overthink in a game because of that. And I think there's a little bit of that, for sure. That's Tom Izzo's coaching style. You know, that leash is short. I think that he has loosened up that leash over time, but it's still there. Especially when you are still trying to figure out your lineup, which says a lot here in mid-February, knocking on the door of March Madness, still trying to figure out a lineup that works. Izzo, he has a very short temperament when it comes to mistakes. He's going to go with somebody else. And then Thomas Kithier getting all of the minutes that he got in comparison to the other front court players that you could have thrown in there. I mean, Travion Williams, he looked at Thomas Kithier and just he saw breakfast, lunch, and dinner, folks. He just ate. Just foaming at the mouth anytime he saw Kithier guarding him. But yet he continued to get those minutes against Travion Williams. Those coaching mistakes cannot be ignored. And they are a major reason why Michigan State lost last night, another game by double digits, and will miss this year's tournament for the first time since the late 90s. You can't ignore that stuff. In the loss against Purdue on January 8th, Izzo didn't adjust then. And I thought that guys like Marcus Bingham, Mati Sissoko, I thought those guys, Julius Marble, those guys should have gotten more minutes. You can't ignore this stuff. So Izzo deserves a ton of the blame, for sure. But players got to go out there and play as well. And that adds to this real sloppy pie as well. I look at the two biggest problems for this team, and that is no dominant presence down low in the front court. They are missing that Xavier Tillman, Nick Ward-esque type of player, Adrian Payne type of guy down low, which has hurt tremendously. And also, you know, you look at all of the great guards of Michigan State past under Tom Izzo, all of the great point guards. Michigan State doesn't have a great point guard here. Foster Lawyer is way too small. I also believe he overthinks. And now he's dealing with a shoulder injury in which Tom Izzo believes that he for sure will need surgery on come this offseason. And then Rocket Watts. And this is the big, this is one of the big glaring question marks when discussing what is wrong with the player personnel of this team. Because you look at Rocket Watts and all of the hype, there was so much hype around Rocket when he first came to this program last season. Because he's so athletic, he is a pure scorer. You know, I saw him in the Moneyball Pro-Am, and I said, oh, man, this kid's got a lot of potential here. And just sawing him just play his game, I was very excited for him. And like any freshman, he, of course, struggled at the beginning of the year last season. But on the back end, the back nine of that Michigan State men's basketball year last season, you saw some potential there. You saw that confidence growing. We saw Rocket begin to really figure the game out, and it seemed to be clicking for him finally. You know, in basketball, you hear this a lot. You know, when a player is starting to figure out his game, he starts to almost play in slow motion because he's dictating everything and he's seeing things happen before they do. We began to see that from Rocket Watts just at the right time as well. Right in time for the NCAA tournament. And there was this synergy happening between him and Cassius. And he could just play his position. Didn't have to worry about playing point guard. Because Cassius was running the show and Rocket could just go out there and score. And he was so relaxed. But this year, well, before I go into this year, we all know what happened last season. COVID happened. The tournament stops. Everybody has to quarantine. You got to take all these precautions. And you know, it just robbed Rocket of a very key developmental period. Getting that tournament experience, playing in the offseason with his teammates, you know, playing in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. I mean, anytime, the more and more you go out there and play, the better and better you get. And Rocket didn't have a normal offseason. And now he's in a position this season where you ask yourself, okay, who is going to be the point guard? Again, Foster has his problems. He's way too small. I think he overthinks way too much. He's not offensively intimidating at all. Defensively, solid player. He finds ways to annoy you and pick up charges. That's the best part of his game, though, really. Which is shocking because there was a lot of hype around Foster, too, based on how he was averaging, 30 points during his high school days at Clarkston. And then you got A.J. Hogarth, who is a freshman. A freshman still figuring it out. And he had to figure out his body before Tom Izzo gave him the green light to play in his first season anyway, because he was overweight and he worked his tail off to lose that weight and came in at great shape, but he's still a freshman. You're going to have growing pains with a freshman point guard. So can Rocket play that position? And now you're just trying to force a square peg into a round hole. It's not who he is. Rocket Watch is not a point guard. And when he was placed at point guard, he was overthinking. I think maybe he was trying to be the next Cassius Winston. That's not his game. He is not a facilitator. Rocket is a guy who goes out there and gets you a bucket. And now when you look at him, and I know he's sick. You know, Tom Izzo mentioned that during his press conference on Monday. He felt ill against Iowa. He got, you know, taken out of the Iowa game. Izzo said that he had been throwing up yesterday prior to the game, didn't feel 100%. I get that, but I'm not even just talking about in that just two-game stretch of basketball. Rocket Watts has struggled mightily this season. And you can just see it. I think he's just overthinking. He's trying to press too much, and he is not looking for his game. He drives. He's out of control. Just the turnovers. I mean, my goodness. Then I can talk about Joey Hauser. All the hype surrounded around him. Who started off the year great. Do want to acknowledge that. A lot of potential in Joey Hauser's game, but Joey Hauser can get sloppy sometimes as well. I mean, he had two bad turnovers in crunch time last night. Just nonsensical turnovers. Throwing the ball away. Then the play where he's at the top of the key and he's kind of hemmed up and he just throws it to the left wing. A defender is right there in the passing lane, gets it picked, and then the ball is going on the other side of the floor. Basketball IQ is something that is very deficient on this season's Michigan State men's basketball roster. Not a lot of it. Not a lot of it at all. And then Joshua Langford, I mean, I really feel for him. You know, he finally gets healthy and comes back, and he can't even play in an NCAA tournament. You know, I'm curious to see what happens in his basketball career, but this year's team failed him. You know, and I didn't expect much out of Josh. I mean, coming off the injuries that he came off of, it's a miracle that he's still out there just dribbling a basketball, let alone putting it in the orange circle. I mean, it's been a tough ride for him. So it's a culmination of things, guys. A culmination. And I think those final 2 minutes really summed up Michigan State season. You know, the turnovers by Hauser. You know, the self-inflicted wounds from Michigan State. Just, you know, missed shots off good looks. Not being able to defend without fouling. I mean, it just, you know, you want a perfect summation of what's wrong with this team. You watch those final couple of minutes of last night's game. And it's just so frustrating. A bright spot, though, is Mahdi and Marble. I love watching those guys do what they did last night, even though Travion Williams still balled out. And Travion Williams is such a solid player. From Chi-Town, played high school basketball at Henry Ford. So he's got ties to the D. I was talking to some of the fellas about that last night. You know, he's a great player. Great footwork, freakishly athletic. That spin move is something serious. But Mati Sissoko and Julius Marble, they didn't back down. Sissoko, I mentioned that solid first half. You know, he had 5 points, 4 rebounds. Seemed like Tom Izzo. Looked like he liked that post matchup. But Sissoko doesn't play in the second half, as I've already highlighted. Marble, he played more than he usually does, and I think he deserved it. I mean, he had 10 points, 3 rebounds off the bench, and had some really good defensive stops on Travion Williams. He picked up 4 fouls, reached in a few times, but, hey, I thought he was solid. But, again, man, I thought it was a coaching error. Because I think, you know, you look at those 4 fouls for Marble. If you mix up the minutes between him and Sissoko in that second half, then maybe he doesn't get 4 fouls. Sissoko didn't have 1 foul or turnover. I don't know. A head scratcher for sure. So it's going to be very weird. No, this Michigan State men's basketball team is not going to make the tournament. You know, I don't know if they get an NIT bid. And again, if you want to cling on to some kind of hope, I mean, yeah, the Big Ten tournament is still looming. And we all know whoever wins the Big Ten tournament, I mean, if you don't have an automatic bid, you have an automatic bid if you can run the table. But, I mean, what are the chances if Michigan State runs the table in the Big Ten tournament and gets into the big dance, that will be the greatest coaching accomplishment in Tom Izzo's tenure. It will be, if that was to happen. That would be a basketball miracle if it did happen, and it would be his greatest accomplishment. Because right now, you look at this season, you know, the schedule moving forward. I mean, I, you know, Dan Dockage was on the call last night, and we all know Spartan fans how we feel about Dan Dockage, right? But hey, he makes some great points from time to time, and hey, Stevie Wonder can see that the rest of the schedule is hard to see a Michigan State win at all. Michigan State is going to be an underdog from here on out in the final 5 games of play in the regular season. They play Indiana on Saturday afternoon. Illinois, number 5 team in the nation. Ohio State, number 4 team in the nation. Maryland on the 28th. And then they wrap up the regular season against Michigan on March 7th. And Michigan, even with the big COVID layoff, we saw what Michigan was able to do over the weekend. They still look amazing. This Michigan Wolverines team is serious, man. I watched what they did against a ranked Wisconsin squad, getting that 8-point win. Yeah, Juwan Howard, hey, props to him, man. He's doing something right out in Ann Arbor. It's tough, man. Tough, tough year, Spartan fans. What are your thoughts? Am I missing something here? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. You can weigh in also by going to facebook.com/WKAR news. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page, and you can tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And what I want to do right now is hit our first break. And when we come back, you will get the opportunity to hear from both Aaron Henry, who I didn't even really touch on during that segment A. But Aaron Henry will speak, as well as Tom Izzo, as they give thoughts on what happened last night and where they go moving forward now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And you heard my thoughts in segment A on Michigan State men's basketball, which fell to the Purdue Boilermakers last night by 10 points. Michigan State now losers of two straight games in the Big Ten Conference. And don't have many opportunities now to turn some heads and try and figure this thing out. And Michigan State's going to miss the NCAA tournament. That's the way I see it, at least, unless a basketball miracle happens. So what I want to do right now is allow you to hear from Aaron Henry, Michigan State men's basketball junior, who, it's going to be interesting to see if Aaron Henry comes back for another season. You know, he dipped his toe into the NBA waters after his sophomore campaign. But after a campaign like this year, I think he may need one more year, man, to try and show NBA scouts what he's capable of. You know, he's averaging, 14 points per game right now, almost 3.5 assists per game and 5.5 rebounds per game. Last night against Purdue, he had 15 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Not a bad stat line, but again, still a loss. So you hear from Aaron Henry, and not too long after his comments, you will hear from head coach Tom Izzo, who was noticeably annoyed and frustrated after letting another one just slip away.
Aaron, you mentioned not folding and keep fighting. Do you feel like everyone out there is still fighting, even though the results aren't there?
I wouldn't let anybody on the court that still doesn't want to fight.
What about what they were doing defensively in the first half? It seemed they were making it tough for you to get the ball, get your shot. What were they doing that was making it difficult to get that offense moving?
They were just playing on top of me, you know, trying to limit my touches, I feel, and what I saw. So I tried to take that to the huddle, make adjustments, and try to distribute more and try to find my way throughout the game and just let it come to me, you know, not force anything. But, you know, they did a good job defensively, and they made some shots.
We'll go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Aaron, I'm not the result you wanted, but wondering with you guys taking a bus down, going into your home state, was there an opportunity for you to reflect a little differently if it's just riding, looking out the window, and having a chance to reflect on a broader season of what's going on?
Well, it was a blizzard, so, I mean, it looked like it was just nothing but snow coming down, but, you know, I feel like I've been down a couple of those roads, and I never went here before, so, you know, this one hurts for sure. This one's definitely going to hurt, so, I mean, just look at it as a learning experience, and I'll take some stuff from it from other players that are from around this area, but, you know, it's a learning experience. That's for, like, where I've grown up the most. You know, I can't take everything, you know, as just a lump. You know, I got to try to make the most out of every situation, you know, even play – I mean, just play the cards that I'm dealt.
And real quick, follow up with your teammates, you know, what is their demeanor like? What are their feelings like when you're in the locker room and the games are over, when you're talking about things? What's that tone like?
When any team loses, I mean, it's not going to be upbeat or the most, you know, excited locker room, but people have feelings. Everybody has emotions. And when you win, you know, and when you lose, you can only imagine those emotions, how they feel. I mean, but, as a leader and as a captain on this team, it's our job to pick it up and be there for them and, you know, let them know, you know, we got another game to prepare for.
We'll go next to Sarah Tidwell.
Hey, Aaron, so after the last Purdue game, how did you guys kind of go in today, both physically and mentally? Were there new or different improvements and faults? What was your kind of mental state when you went in today?
Just try to get a win. You know, just, of course, that's the goal. But, you know, just realize that the winning plays that we didn't make down the stretch the first time at Breslin, you know, when we tried to correct those and be better in certain areas. But it just showed tonight that, you know, we did some things better. We played hard. We competed. But down the stretch, we got to make those plays.
We'll go last question to Chris Delari.
wonder if you could kind of maybe give us a little breakdown of what Williams did tonight, and then also what you saw out of both Body in the first half and Marble in the second half against him.
Those two competed. I felt the best on him, and I mean, Williams just scored when he wanted to down there. To be brutally honest, I mean, whatever he wanted, he got. You know, he can pass, he can score over either shoulder. He uses the glass really well, and didn't like we had an answer for him.
Well, I tell you, we find ways to lose games instead of finding ways to win games, and it was a rough couple days. I'll be very blunt about it, not the trip. Just, you know, Foster was in a position where he couldn't practice him, he couldn't work out, and then Rocket, I thought, he played a little bit yesterday, and I thought he would be okay, and today before the game, he told our trainer he tried to go, but he didn't think he could. He was think throwing up again during the day, and just didn't practice those guys, and AJ, you know, struggled with the free throw shooting, and we another miss free throw cutout that they scored on, and you know, just some things that you know, were tough. Trayvon played his butt off. I thought he was in the paint for 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds, but that's going to be the way it is this year, and we're not very strong in there. I thought Julius Marble did a great job for us. I thought Hauser played well until the end. But part of that was the fault of I just didn't have a point guard I could get it to. I tried to put Aaron in that position. We just haven't worked as much on it. But I'm telling you, we fought. We did a lot of good things. Had some plays. Ball just didn't bounce our way. And give them credit. They found a way to win.
We'll go first question to Matt Charbonneau.
Tom, you mentioned it a little bit, but, you know, this is different from losing by 30. You're in a game. You have a chance to make plays down 5 with a minute or so left, and then that's when the mistakes come. How frustrating is it this far that those things are still happening at that important part of the game?
Well, they're happening because we're struggling at the point, as you know. And, I mean, you know, that's when you hope to put it in their hands. And some of that's my fault. I just got to put it in Aaron or Josh's hands at the end. And, you know, but like I said, you know, you look at the end and you see those plays, but you kind of forget the ones in the middle when we had chances, man. I mean, we missed free throw after free throw. We had our chances. I think of the 6 free throws or 7 we missed, I think we missed 6 of the 7 or 5 of the 6 in the first half. And hard to do that on the road against a good team, and especially when you've been struggling, you know. So, you're right. We did some good things. We were in position, but we didn't get the job done, and they did. And he went to their horse down low, and he responded. But I thought Marble played as well as anybody for us down there. I thought Aaron played pretty well. But Josh passed up some shots, and we battled them, but wasn't much we could do. We didn't want to give up the 3, you know. You go 1 week, you play Iowa, you guard the 3, and they kill you inside. The next week, you guard inside, they kill you from the 3. And tonight, we thought we'd do a little bit of both, and it just didn't work out.
I wanted to ask you, too, real quick about Mahdi. He seemed to play okay in that first half. It was one ball screen he didn't cover very well, but seemed to bring some energy, but didn't get in there in the second half. I was wondering what just because the way Marble was playing, or
just because the way Marble, but you're right. It's a good question. You know, Mahdi's one of my favorite guys, and you know what he does is he has some energy, and that's the disappointing part about going with different people and nobody really stepping up. Mahdi was not in a position to step up because of all that he missed in high school and all the summer, and then we started playing him, like I said, 7, 8, 10, that he played 12 minutes in one game. And then he gets COVID, you know, and so hard for a freshman, especially one like him who doesn't pick up things as well just because his background. And but he's going to play more. I promise you that, because he did do some good things. He just wasn't, you know, we were switching some things and it was a little more difficult for him. But you're right. He played well. So I should have mentioned him, too.
We'll go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom, you're always very detailed and specific with us explaining what happened, what went wrong. But when you talk about the national storyline about what's happening with Michigan State, do you find yourself not only fighting for basketball wins, but also for the basketball culture and even the brand of Michigan State right now?
I mean, if that's the case on one average year, you know, and it probably is these days, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the culture of a team because I don't think you have as many leaders that develop the culture, you know, and pass it on. And that's what I told Aaron and Josh. But, you know, like I said, Josh wasn't with us for 2 years. Listen, I got a million excuses. I don't really give a damn what anybody thinks publicly as far as some of that, because I know what's going on. I know what we went through last night. We gave a hell of an effort tonight. We made some mistakes. I'm not worried about our brand. I'm not worried about Michigan State. I'm not worried about the tournament. I'm worried about getting my team better. And I'm worried about teaching guys how to play when it's hard to tell them they did anything wrong, because in our freaking society right now, that's a no-no. So that's what I'm a little upset with, but nothing else. I'm pleased with a lot of the things we did. I just, you get frustrated that, you know, anything you say or do gets scrutinized. And so I'm going to do the old bunker down and I'll do what I can do. Everybody's going to get an honest day's work. We're going to play harder. We played better tonight. We played hard tonight. You know, things just don't go your way. I swear that guy was in the lane 100 hours sometimes, and they just don't go your way. So that's the way we got to live with it. We're going to have to, you know, a lot of people got beat up by Michigan State over the last 20 years. I even asked the officials, is it your turn to get us too? And I'm just joking about that. But, you know, Lindsay, if 1 year does that, so be it.
We'll go next to Graham Couch.
Tom, I'm wondering, as you try to navigate this year without, you know, having an answer at point guard and you've not having maybe a go-to guy like a Travion Williams type or somebody who causes the other team extreme stress defensively, what it's been like, the challenge of trying to cobble together wins and find things and find cohesion without those two elements, what that's been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been difficult. I mean, you know, but I think a lot of those two elements, to be honest with you, Graham, are a product of the spring, summer, and fall. You know, I mean, guys have always gotten better here. We didn't get a chance to do that. We didn't, you know, excuse. I really don't care. I'm just, you asked me a question. I'm telling you the answer. It's very difficult to put guys in a position that they're not really ready for. And Aaron has been playing pretty well. Now, not many guys got a Travion Williams. I mean, there's a couple big guys in this league this year that haven't been in this league in 20 years. And so not many people have those. That's not the norm. But it is a year. Listen, if this league wasn't so good, us not playing great and having these problems, you still win 3-4 games more because you get well on somebody like we have over the years. There's nobody to get well on right now. We just watched Nebraska, the 14th team in the league, you know, had Illinois beat 6-down or 6-up with minute something left, and then go to Penn State and win. That's our last place team. So I think, you know, part of it that people will have trouble understanding is the league is better than it's ever been in the 37 years. And we're navigating some stuff with being one of two teams that had the COVID right in the middle of the year. I've talked to Sasha. Did he score tonight? Okay, so that's the third or fourth game in a row since COVID. He hasn't scored. He was their second leading scorer, their best three-point shooter. And I said to him after, I said, it's really kind of gotten to you, huh? I was listening to an interview with the guy from Duke that went to that place for the Celtics. He said he had it over a month ago, Tatum. And he struggles now, his shooting percentage. Everything's gone down. I think people see bodies and they don't realize that everybody handles it differently. And for Mahdi, for Gabe, you know, Gabe had some great looks. We need his shooting, but he was shooting flat. And so, yeah, it's been tough to navigate. It's been tough because of the number of good teams. But, you know, Saturday, I couldn't stomach. I can stomach today. I can stomach these games. I can stomach our game at Iowa. You know, we're not winning games that bother me, but other teams have probably better teams than we are right now. We got to find a way to win. And some of that is going to be not with throwing it inside to a go-to guy. We need better guard play. But when Rocket doesn't practice for 3 days and tries to play and Foster Lawyer, he gave me every, he was so good on the bench. He knew every call, every play, and he just couldn't go. I mean, he tried to go the first half. Once he gets it bumped. So we'll have to see where he goes, because that thing's definitely going to need surgery. Even though,
all right, Aaron Henry and Tom Izzo speaking there. When we come back after this final break, you'll get my final thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball as we put a wrap on this Wednesday edition, Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. And, you know, I played for you the press conference in segment B after the game. Aaron Henry spoke and Tom Izzo spoke. And, you know, you heard what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the brand, the Michigan State brand. He was asked by my guy, fraternity brother Lindsey Huddleston, about, you know, what is the brand nationally? Do you care about the brand nationally of Michigan State basketball right now? And Tom Izzo went on to say, quote, "I don't give a crap about what anyone thinks publicly." He used another word, which I won't, you know, I think you can say it, the D word. He goes on to say, "I'm not worried about the brand. I just get frustrated that anything you say or do gets scrutinized. A lot of people got beat up by Michigan State over the last 20 years. And Izzo says that if people want to criticize the team publicly, then so be it. And, you know, there's a little defiance in that as well. If you look at the line of a lot of people got beat up by Michigan State over the last 20 years, true. You can't just totally dismiss the past without a doubt. But we all know that sports are a what have you done for me lately business. And, you know, we'll reflect when it's all said and done. And this streak is certainly remarkable, but this season has not been great, and that's all fans are going to care about. And then the line of, I just get frustrated that anything you say or do gets scrutinized, and that's Tom talking about how in today's world you can't be too harsh on athletes, because then, you know, athletes start complaining, or they crawl up into a ball and cry, or society just looks down upon it. We all know about the heat that Tom Izzo got where he was, you know, caught, quote unquote, on camera yelling at Aaron Henry. But we all saw how Aaron Henry responded in that moment. And I don't know, maybe Tom Izzo is looking at himself a bit and saying, all right, maybe I need to dial that back a little bit. But hey, if it works and your players respond, I see nothing wrong with it. Society is a little bit too soft. So maybe he has let his foot off the gas in regards to his intensity. Coaching intensity? I don't know. But that was a very interesting comment as well. And I think Tom Izzo at this point, he understands. I mean, when you have bad seasons and when you fall short, you are going to be criticized by the public. Just the nature of the beast. Nature of the job. It's how it is. Okay. Well, folks, we will bid you all adieu. And we will be back at it on the Thursday edition of the show. I want to dive into some other things. I want to talk a little bit about the NBA. I want to talk about the Australian Open. Tonight, two of the best tennis players will go at it. You know, the old versus the new. Serena Williams, the greatest of all time, playing a tennis star, a young tennis star, a young phenom who was taking the tennis world by storm. Kind of reminds me of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes in the NFL world and that Super Bowl a little bit. But Naomi Osaka, the young star versus the wily vet in Serena Williams, and she is still playing awesome, awesome tennis. That matchup will take place tonight at 7 p.m. I'll have thoughts on that on tomorrow's Current Sports as well. I'll talk about the NBA All-Star Game, and should there be an NBA All-Star Game in the midst of all of the COVID craziness? All of that and so much more. We are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.